Christmas Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Hello and welcome. And it's not Amanda.
Hello, Amanda.
Hello. Do I look like Amanda? No, I don't.
You've got a deep voice.
Yeah. As you may have gathered, Amanda's not with us today. This is Paul Andrews standing in for the lovely Amanda Flanders. But I've got my co-host, Mr. Mark Goldfinch, who's going to help me through the show. Amanda's
obviously... Yes, because you've never done broadcasting
before. No. Amanda's away at the moment running an event at the fantastic Port Lym with the Aspinall Foundation.
In the world.
Yeah, yep. For International Women's Day.
Fantastic.
And do you know what? I've just had a tweet from down there.
Oh, what's...
It did make me smile. It's from Linda Garcia of Aluxi Consulting. Yeah, she says, we've just been given the escaped animal safety procedure, Port Lym. We're celebrating International Women's Day 2019, courtesy of Butterflies 2019. That's, of course, Amanda, in aid of the Aspinall Foundation. And she said, it's making for an interesting start to the day.
I bet it is. Flood,
yeah.
Oh, and wild
lions.
Animals.
Yeah, lions.
Tigers.
Yeah.
Because they do have some ferocious animals at Portland.
They certainly are, yeah. Anyway, I hope you ladies are all having a good time. I'm sure you're all sat there tuned in, listening to us. They must be, mustn't they?
Their morning coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They've got four fantastic speakers.
They have, yes. They have.
It's a really good event. I kind of wish I was there. Fly on the wall.
Some very powerful...
Although if I was a fly on the wall at Port Lym, a lizard would probably...
Yeah, gecko. Have that. that's four very powerful business women speaking at the event.
Absolutely.
And I hope you all have a fantastic day. I do hear they've got vegan Prosecco as well, whatever that is.
Crikey.
Apparently.
Really? Is that a thing?
Apparently, yeah. I don't know. But there you go. We shall find out.
I always
later
thought wine was made out of grapes anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
What
do
I know?
Yeah, yeah. So, who knows? Maybe there's something in the process that, I don't know.
Well, yeah, there's got to be... maybe it's something what they attach to barrels or something.
Could well be.
Yeah.
Could well be. Anyway, I shall be fascinated to find out what it tastes like and how it works. But anyway, so Mark, how are you?
I'm very good. Yeah, I just came here on the train today because I'm up in London this afternoon.
So, are you? Okay.
Yeah, and it's a lovely day. You know, sort of daffodils out, spring.
So how did you get from the station to here? Did you walk?
I walk. Yeah.
Did you? You do a lot of walking, don't you?
9 miles yesterday. 9 miles on Tuesday. Yeah. So it's. I listen to podcasts all the time. So it's you kind of don't notice the foul weather.
Right. Okay.
When you listen to podcasts.
Okay.
Do you get
run over very often?
I've seen some near misses. That's for sure.
Imagine.
Cyclists. Not the cyclists. Basically, me blundering into cyclists. I have to be very careful.
I nearly got wiped out yesterday.
No.
I nearly got wiped out.
My God, this show never happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I nearly got wiped out.
You're lucky.
totally my fault. I stepped off the pavement and some bloke on a bike went, get out of the way. Oh, blimey, didn't hear you coming. Can you make car noises?
I do wish they'd buy bells, though.
Absolutely. But I was talking to, I had lunch with lovely Sue Nelson yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just bought an electric car. And I was telling her about a guy that had one of the very first BMW i8s in Canterbury, and he nearly killed me twice. Because, of course, they sneak up to you. There's no noise.
Yeah, that's definitely, you've got to keep an eye out for those things because you can't hear them coming. You just look left, look right. All of a sudden, they just appear out of nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely. But we ought to introduce our guest.
Our guest. Shoti Coker.
Hello, everybody. Yes. Morning, guys.
So, Shoti, welcome to the show. Thank you. We're going to talk to Shoti in depth later on in the show, but we thought we'd better let you know he's here.
Shoti, do you want to say hi to the listeners and say...
Hello, listeners. Hello, Paul. Hello, Mark.
How did you find the studio all right this morning?
Yeah, the studio's easy to find. Like you said, the weather was great. Are we officially in spring yet? I don't know.
Yeah. I think we probably are heading towards spring, aren't we?
I have to take my jacket off to get in the cab to get here, so I think it's warm enough.
Is it officially spring when the clocks spring forward?
Yeah, I think that's
which
it.
Which is a couple of weeks' time, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's getting lighter in the evenings already.
Oh, it's lovely in the mornings. Yeah, the sunrises are beautiful at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
cool. So, lots going on. We've got quite a few events to talk to you
quite
about.
Quite a lot. I've got a whole sheaf of
events. I've got loads as well. I want to tell you about this because I've actually had a tweet about it as well. So I'll read you the event and then I'll read the tweet as well. It's a free event sponsored by Jobs in Kent, and it's a Medway Careers Fair.
Oh, great.
And it's taking place on March the 14th, so that's next week, at the St. George Hotel, and that's in New Road, Chatham. You can go along, you can get your CV checked by experts, you can find your ideal career. There's people to help you identify what your chosen career should be. There are loads of workshops, and they're only 10-minute workshops. They're all really short, quick-hit workshops. But there's also the ability to sign up for a webinar if you want to get more in-depth. So if you go on the 10-minute one and you want a more in-depth look at it, you can get access to a webinar to see at your leisure. There's already 25 confirmed local employers there.
That's good.
So if you want to find out about it, you can just, you don't have to book. You can just turn up on the day. It's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/medwayjobs. Now, I've had a tweet from the lovely Tracy Ferguson, Tansy64 on the Twitter. And Tracy's organising the event.
Yeah, she's done a fabulous job on it.
Well, she's telling me they've managed to acquire a bigger space at the St. George Hotel. So they actually have two spaces left that are free for anyone that's an employer in the Medway area that's currently employing who would like a free exhibition space on March the 14th.
What a generous offer. So,
absolutely.
Yes.
So do get in touch with us.
Next Thursday?
Yeah. It's March the 14th from 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock. So it's not onerous. You don't have to be up at a crack of dawn. if you want to, if you're an employer...
And Roland and the team at the St. George's Hotel are so accommodating.
They're fabulous. So they're nice. Yeah, yeah. It's a lovely place. And as you quite rightly say, Roland's team are fantastic. Roland Stanley is the owner of the St. George's Hotel and Dragon Co-working. Mm. So there'll be lots of fun going on there. Do come along. If you're an employer and you want to get involved in that, then the easiest thing is to drop me an email, hello@bizradio.co.uk.
Hello@bizradio.co.uk.
Yeah, yeah.
I love a webinar myself. I think that format works really well. The kind of like short 10-minute thing and then a webinar later. Yeah. There's nothing worse than when you go to a conference and you're stuck in a workshop for half an hour.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 10 minutes into it, you're thinking, oh, I wish I was somewhere else because I'm missing something else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more like taster sessions.
Yeah, definitely. I used to do training courses.
And it used to annoy me that you asked people to spend like 9 hours in a training course because no matter what you did, it got boring eventually people got uncomfortable. So I developed this years ago, 25 years ago, what I call bite-sized courses, where you did just an hour, spread out, an hour here, an hour there, work much better. People's attention span, focus on one thing, they get one thing, they go away, do it, come back next week and do another one.
I think that's particularly, I've done education. I was an IT training manager or an internal communications executive at J. Walter Thompson donkeys years ago. And I've also done university postgrad and all that and everything in between. And the big issue I've got is that a lot of education doesn't go anywhere.
Yep.
Basically, it's just ethereal. It's
not so practical.
Not practical at all.
Yeah.
And this is where it was just on the news before this show started, actually, about, there's huge amounts of confusion in schools about what children should actually study these days in order to get on a career path, when they leave. So
don't get me on that subject.
I get well wound up about that.
I saw you got
a great statistic, basically, how many about the number of jobs which haven't been created yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So we shouldn't be fearful about this. We should embrace it.
But one of the things that drives me absolutely bonkers is classical education is so far behind the curve in terms of what we're doing. It's not easy, don't get me wrong, it's not easy to stay in front of the curve, but we haven't taught IT in schools until the last 5 years, and we've had IT for 50 years. And then I saw some idiot from the government the other day talking about banning tablets and phones from schools. but all of these kids are going to work in digital. Why would you? It's as bad as coming along in 1265 and going to Gutenberg, you can stick your printed books where you don't shine. We've got wax tablets, mate.
Yeah. I think a lot of schools need to teach kids how to use their faculties to actually make things happen, as opposed to teaching them to sort of like answer questions.
Yeah.
That model just doesn't work anymore.
No, absolutely.
The world has changed.
So AI, the initials AI, for artificial intelligence, the best I heard was a slight tweak to that to augmented intelligence.
Right.
So basically, we have all this, the World Wide Web, we have these devices, we have all this knowledge at our fingertips.
Mm.
Basically, they augment our own intelligence and the way that we do it. So basically, that's what schools should be embracing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need, in my humble opinion, we need a fundamental rethink about how we do education. I don't think we've ever really done. You know, we change it all the time. We tinker around the edges all the time with the different formats. But I did hear a rumour that the government are on the point of scrapping GCSEs altogether.
Oh wow!
At long last,
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, because they've just made such a mess of it now.
Well, I think that, you know, there's children are overtested from far too young.
Yeah.
Compared to other countries which are equally or more successful than the UK is.
Having been a complete failure at anything academic, I mean, I didn't give it much of a try, I only went twice, but...
just the two times.
And you went the third time and they said, no thanks.
Yeah, yeah. They went, who are you? Why are you here? Why are you in my classroom? Go away. But the thing is that the kind of things that they were trying to teach you had no practical experience, and it always struck me, look, why do you keep asking me these questions? You already know the answer because you put it in the back of the book, so you don't want to know the answer. You're just trying to get me to know the answer, but I don't want to know the answer either because I'm not interested in what you're talking about. You know, it always just struck me as a really odd way of teaching anybody anything.
Yeah, I mean, I did one of the first computer studies O levels as an O level. So it's a long time ago.
Oh, level,
so
blimey.
And so I did one at Dover, the school in Dover, and it was a catastrophe, basically. Nobody knew anything. The equipment didn't work, and the teacher had a nervous breakdown, so he was actually away for most of the year. So it's like, okay, I've got an E. So,
did you? It counts. It counts.
But I still remember doing four next loops and all that kind of real important coding. But unfortunately, if that had gone right, then I might have had a career. Yeah,
exactly.
Basically studying computers at De Montfort.
Because we live in a time now where all the kids can find out all the information on the internet, it's no longer a bit of a challenge for the kids or kids in school to go and find the answer. It's too easy to find the answer, so you can't just say, here's the question, find the answer. If they know the answer, or they just find it. Yeah. So you have to teach them to ask the right questions to go and find the right answers.
And how to do research effectively. I totally agree.
What is true, basically? Yeah, exactly. You know, what is a fact?
But also, the other thing that always struck me about exams and stuff like that, school is the only place where you get one crack at it.
Yeah.
I can drive a car, 90 mile an hour. No, sorry, officer, 70 miles an hour. I can drive a deadly weapon, and I can have as many goes as I like at passing my test.
Yes.
But I can only have one go at passing O-level English. You just think that's stupid.
It's just fun. Well, everything's funneled along a particular channel. Mm. Everything has to happen at a particular time because it's batched with millions of, the cohort is millions, isn't it? Yeah. So it has to be done in that sort of manufactured way.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsor as well, which are the lovely folks at ZC Social Media with their ZC Live event, which is coming up. We do have an event info about it, which we'll read out later in the show. Yep. But just to remind you, on the 30th of May, it's ZC Live. And a huge thank you to them for sponsoring today's show. Listen, we'd love to hear from you, the listeners out there. You can tweet us. That's the best way to do it. And probably you'll have to tweet me today because I can't see Amanda's Twitter handle. So if you tweet me, VanillaWeb, or tweet Mark at Mark3Deal, D-E-A-L.
Yeah, Mark3Deal.
Mark3Deal or me, and put the hashtag BBunker or BBunkerExtra, and we'll certainly read your tweet. I've just had quite an interesting tweet as well directed at me on the show here from a company I've never heard of before called On Analytica. And they said, VanillaWeb, we're pleased to release a blog for International Women's Day. International Women's Day, the top 100 influencers on gender equality and diversity. And you're one of them.
Oh, wow.
Am I? And we hope you find it interesting.
Oh, very good. So I'll look forward to reading that.
Yeah, so shall I. So I've just said I'll look forward to reading
it. Thanks for getting in touch.
Thank you. And I didn't know I was an influencer of women. So, cool.
Good on you. Thank you. Go.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's star for you, mate.
Equality and diversity, because you have a long-running show. Yeah. You had a long-running commitment to all manner of businesses and business folk in Kent and southeast England generally.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. No, cool. So thank you for tweeting that, and do send us tweets about anything you want to talk about. But we have got a great guest to talk to. But before we do that, I think we'll play some.
Put his coat on. He must be cold.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's doing a runner.
He's going. Yeah. I did say to him before the show, didn't I? I'm going to play a track, and it'll give you a chance to leave if you don't like it. So maybe he's going. I hope not, because we're looking forward to talking to you in a minute. But we'll play some tunage. I've got some tunage just for International Women's Day.
Okay.
Have a listen.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Do you use social media for your business? Do you understand all things digital? No? Then come to ZC Live. Business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns will host a day full of great content for local businesses, free workshops, inspiring speakers, networking opportunities, top marketing tips, the latest trends. And it's all free. Make your digital marketing more effective with ZC Live. Friday, May the 31st at Strood Academy. Book your free place now at zclive.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Extra Show here on Friday the 8th of March with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Mark Goldfinch.
Hello. And it was really good to... Oh, and our guest, obviously, Shoti.
Hello again.
Hello, Shoti. Yeah.
And it was good to hear ZC Live being there in the answer as well.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a bit more info in the event thing that we'll tell you about later. Talking of which, why don't we read a couple of events? Mark, what have you got?
Well, I've got an event at About at Events, in fact. So if we fast forward to Thursday the 9th of May. So I know May sounds a long time ahead, but it's actually only 2 months. And it's that this year goes really fast. So this is basically the second Venues and Events Expo Southeast at the Kent Event Centre. Thursday the 9th of May, 2019, 9 a.m. to 5 a.m., full day, one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs, and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for events. This, the first one was last year, wasn't it?
It was,
Amanda,
It
was a fantastic venture, and it was such a success, basically, by popular demand. This is the second one. Well, so this is an amazing event.
It was so successful that last weekend, Amanda, and she dragged me along, which was lovely, was invited to attend the MNIT Awards at Battersea Evolution.
Saw some very glamorous photos.
Absolutely. The MNIT Awards is the Meetings and Incentive Travel Awards. It's a trade show and a trade awards for the event industry. And Amanda made such a splash with her event last year that they invited her along for free. And allowed her to bring me with her.
She's an influencer.
Absolutely. There were 1,500 people from the events industry there. Wow. It was a fantastic event. I'm really proud of Amanda that, you know, that they embraced what she's trying to do and got the idea. So, as Mark says, the second one is happening in May. Be there.
Thursday the 9th of May. 100 venues and event suppliers from the Southeast meeting up. If you're a venue or supplier to the events industry who doesn't want to miss the opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of key buyers and event creators, come along, basically, to find out more and book your free place to visit the exhibition, www.venuesevent-expo.co.uk.
Fantastic. As it's International Women's Day, I'll read this out. I would have read it out anyway, of course, but it's a Women in Business lunch. And it's taking place at the fantastic Chilston Park Hotel. That's just outside Lenham near Maidstone. And it's on Wednesday, the 3rd of April, from 11:15 to 2:30. And there are two speakers, Belinda Collins and Katie Day. If you want to find out more about the luncheon or to book your place, if you go to kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
Fantastic. Help us bridge the gap between school and business. As business owners and managers, join us at Federation of Small Businesses Kent at FSB Kent to inspire the next generation of talent at the next event, which is the Hillview at Tunbridge on the 13th of March, Haysbrook School, Tunbridge on the 28th of March, and tune in to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Do join us on one of those events. And as we book more events, they'll appear on that page. So you can always go back to that page to see the next event that's coming up in the 3030 series.
And that's a fairly new initiative. And you've been really driving that.
Well, we've been going 18 months now.
18 months,
yeah. And we've done about 15 schools.
So, yeah, I was going to say you've done numerous schools. And they've, you know, like Lee Academy and places like that.
Exactly, and Wilmington and places in Margate. I can't remember the name of the school in Margate.
Charles Dickens?
Anyway, it'll come to me in a minute. But basically, it's a way of introducing businesses to A-level students and A-level students to the world of work. And what we're trying to do is to get them to talk to each other about how things actually are in the real world, not how they are in the academic world, and not how they are in the minds of some employers too, if I'm really honest.
Absolutely, yeah, because there are stereotypes out there.
Yeah, they are, you know, kids are all lazy, unemployable, don't know what they're doing, da-da-da-da. And one of the nice things about that event is that we do quite often shock employers when they find out how talented young people are and how much more they know than some of the business.
I just need a little bit of guidance in that kind of situation. I think one of the most important things I learned straight out of university, which I could have learned earlier, was that it doesn't matter how fancy the solution is that you create, you just need one that works.
Exactly.
So you're better off peeling back all the fancy stuff and having a solution that isn't all bells and whistles, but actually works, isn't going to fall over.
Absolutely.
You're better off focusing on that than actually, and that was one of the simplest, most important lessons I learned since I left.
It's a really valid point. We quite often miss that in the drive to make a procedure, a policy, or a strategy. And we spend a lot of time devising these things and never actually really testing whether it actually works or not, or actually delivers what we thought it was going to deliver in enough cases. I'm going to read one more event, and then we're going to talk to Shoti, I think. It's the Kent Supported Employment event. This is an annual event, and this year's 2019's is taking place on the 20th of March. It's at County Hall in Maidstone, and it's from 9:30 until 1 p.m. It's totally free to attend, and there's a cracking lunch thrown in as well. And basically, you're invited as a business to find out how other businesses in Kent are benefiting from the pool of talent of people with autism and sensory disabilities. Okay. You're going to hear from four runners in business on their experience of employing people with autism and sensory impairment, how it can benefit you, and how Kent Supported Employment can support you as an employer to become more inclusive. And I might add, to also find some really good talent.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The presentations will be from Microsoft, the education people, Ronnie Wilson, MBE from First Step Trust, myself, Paul Andrews from Jobs in Kent, and from you will also hear from people who have a disability, who are in an employment, who will tell you what difference that's made to their life. And you will also hear from employers who have employed people with supported needs and what difference positively that has made to their business. Come along, totally free, 20th of March, 9:30 to 1, the Lecture Theatre at County Hall in Maidstone. If you want to let us know you're coming, drop an email to thomas.lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, thomas.lovell@theeducationpeople.org.
And there are good business reasons for having diversity within the organisation, because you get different viewpoints.
Yeah,
and you can actually serve different markets.
And there's some really talented people, and some really highly focused. Last year's one, there was a lad there that worked in landscape gardening, and he was hilarious. He made everybody laugh, but he was brilliant. He went, "I'll do hedges." I don't do anything else, I'll do hedges.
Yeah.
And his boss went, "Yeah, but you want to see the hedges." He does. They are absolutely awesome. He goes, I'm your man for hedges.
The attention to detail would be amazing.
Unbelievable. And they showed photographs of the hedges that he'd done, and stunning. They were so pleased with him. Yeah. It was funny.
I can't do hedges.
Yeah, no, I can't do hedges either. The man's got talent. And that's beyond any shadow of a doubt. Why don't we introduce our guest?
Shoti. So Shoti Coker from Data Chronicle. Mm-hmm. And you've been running Data Chronicle. Well, you founded it back in 2015.
Yes,
sir. So it's in its fourth year now. Congratulations.
Almost fourth year. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, we've been going a while. And I'm really enjoying it. It's been challenging, as any small business owner knows. But definitely well worth it.
So what we'll do is basically we'll go through your journey, how on earth you ended up in Folkestone running Data Chronicle. Basically, what is Data Chronicle? Just to explain to the listeners what is Data Chronicle?
Sure. Data Chronicle is a data and marketing business. We love the slogan "Telling better stories with data." So we work a lot with data, but essentially, what we love to do is we love to turn data into pictures that people understand.
Mm.
That is essentially what we do.
Are you talking like infographics and things like that?
Yes. I don't like to use the word, infographics, because sometimes people get it, sometimes people don't get it.
Yeah, sure.
I just like to say we literally just turn data and information, graphs, charts, annual reports, dull as dishwater text. We like to bring it to life to tell stories and engage people, engage your audience, basically, yeah.
Fantastic.
But there are different kinds of learners. So basically, I'm a visual learner. So basically, give me a map.
I'm a bad learner.
Give me a map. Basically, don't give me like loads of written instructions. Give me a map.
And a timetable.
Oh, a timetable. Yeah, there's only myself and Alfred Hitchcock who've kind of...
Mark's a bit of a train fan. Yes.
Railway systems. Yeah.
So it's between a train fan and a train spotter?
There are great gradations. Yeah, so it's I don't really mind trains. Mm-hmm. Basically, trains are trains.
It's transport systems.
Transport system. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I translated the Egyptian railway timetable into English, from Arabic into English.
Wow. That sounds like a savant type activity, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was an interesting thing to do a few years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I say interesting.
So
there's different ways of visualizing data.
Yeah.
And the way that it's carried out, the way that it's actually useful to people. And that's basically what Data Chronicle, what you founded it to do.
Yeah, definitely. I believe, you know, we're all visual creatures. Mm. I don't just believe that. It's a fact. So we have been since the dawn of time. So we naturally just perceive things instantly in pictures and images. And I just like to cut to the chase. I like people to get the information as quick as possible. That's what I like to do. Mm. So I just try and help people do that. Mm. If I see a lot of text, it just winds me up.
It's interesting, isn't it? From a historical point of view, we don't actually think about this, but it's probably only about 800 years since the bulk of the population could actually read.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
Well, Chaucer is the end of 14th century.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking of Gutenberg and Caxton and making print available, which was an incentive to read. It's what they call a killer app, isn't it? So when you think about that in the course of evolutionary history, it's just nothing, is it?
Oh, it's blink of an eye.
Yeah. So basically, prior to the ability to read, most things would have been visually represented as pictures. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about those ancient drawings, I think there's they're like red horses in a cave somewhere.
Yeah.
That's one of the most earliest forms of an infographic.
Yeah.
Back in a thousand years ago, when people couldn't read or write, and you wanted to get from A to B, you'd draw a map using a stick in the mud or a stick in the sand. A map is a kind of infographic. All infographics, there are different variations of infographics, and they are very primal and go back to the beginning of time, basically.
I mean, obviously, I've had a background in the Middle East, and I'm fascinated by the history of the ancient civilizations, in Egypt and in Mesopotamia. Mm. And you have different writing systems there, which are all visual, basically.
So
you
pictograms.
The hieroglyphics, the pictograms,
I'm smiling because somebody posted...
Emojis.
Somebody kind of posted emojis. It. Yeah, so after 1,000 years, we're back to hieroglyphics.
Which is true. And then more and more coming in. So you have those, obviously now we can read them quite clearly, quite accurately. And the cuneiform, we're finding more and more of those just on the ground in around Mesopotamia. Mm. And you go to the British Museum and you can see these cylinders and read them.
Yeah.
And
it takes about a tenth of a second to understand a visual image.
Yeah.
So there's part of the brain that actually works out, looks at the color, looks at the shape of something. We work it out before we even consciously know what that image is. We've already figured out. So it's instinctive and it's built in.
Absolutely. So with Data Chronicles, what are the kind of organizations that are engaging you, Shoti, and the kind of work that they're asking you to do?
I mean, essentially, we work with two types of customers. We work with kind of marketing agencies and content producers, so people who produce a lot of blogs, people are churning out content on behalf of their clients. We take their content and we visualize it, basically.
Right. Okay.
So they do, basically, infographics is a form of marketing asset. You've got your website, you've got your videos, you've got your blogs. Infographics is one of those as well. So we do that for people. We do bespoke ones. We do stuff where they just have a load of articles or annual reports that they need visualizing and touching up and making a lot easier to understand. We do that. Yeah. We also work with what I call data producing organizations. And by that, I mean trade associations or NGOs or research organizations, people who produce data as part of their service. I mean, every company is a data producer. I mean, a coffee shop does that. I mean, they produce coffee. They've got all the numbers in the back. Mm. But I mean, people who do surveys, who produce reports, that kind of thing. Mm. So we work with them as well. So not only do we do infographics, we also do reporting. We turn a lot of their complex reports into easy to understand, either interactive reports or paper ones or, that sort of thing.
And can I just say, as a reader and consumer, I always turn to the infographic first. So basically, you go, thank God there's an infographic there. That's my way into starting on this long report. Yeah.
For me, especially on social media, if I see an infographic or a chart or a graph, I'm far more inclined to look at it because sometimes things catch your attention and you think, there's a link to a blog or something. I'll read that later. And of course you forget. But if you actually see the graphic there, and sometimes you have to, expand it just so you can read the data points or whatever, I invariably 90% of the time will do that, which I wouldn't do with just a text-based post.
And also, what thing we advise our clients to do is a lot of people, they put all this time and effort, they're experts at their business, and they produce these amazing reports, and they believe that they want to give the best to their customers by giving all the information. The downside is you understand the information, and you've got a time to really pour over it, whereas the people, the audience, might not have that time, and they have to decide if they have that time. So what we like to advise our clients to do is you need to break down that information. So do smaller infographics. You've got the long form infographics, which you can spend 10, 15 minutes reading, but you've also got the short one, which a lot of really easy to share on social media, which takes you, 2 seconds to get? So almost like driving traffic, different stages of information. You've got to drip feed information to people. You can't just like put it all in one big thing and go, here you go. This is my life's work, all my passion. Yeah, I love it. Here, have it.
In one picture, boom.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
That's where people are going wrong.
Too much.
So Shota, you're obviously passionate about it. And you know, you've developed this over a couple of years now. How on earth did you get into this? I mean, what's the journey? How did you start with the drawing? Did you start doing infographics when you were like 5? It's like, no. You can imagine like My News.
Yeah,
going into primary school. My News.
We need a story here.
What did you do at the weekend?
I bought crayon box when I was 5 for Christmas, and I did my first infographic by 5 and a half. Yeah.
Well, it's like, most people, it's like, what did you do at the weekend? And it's like a picture of a house and like, you know, parents and car and everything, and you probably did. Oh well, we've got an infographic here of the number of teas and coffees that I drank and fizzy pop and stuff.
So you know what? I'm a bit of a.
So it's a bit facetious, but it's.
I'm a bit of a stickler for. I measure all my time. I like to put information into. I just do that because I just think it's being efficient. Now, I started off as a bit of a geek, to be honest with you. I started off programming. I was that funny kid who would kick my brothers off the Amstrad. Remember, basically Amstrad. When they wanted to play games, and I'd be sitting there learning how to program the computer. So I started off that way. But then I went through uni, did computer science at uni, and then I came out, and my first job was a web developer. And I literally sat right next to the designer. So I was basically a frustrated artist in a way.
Yeah,
I never really gave enough time to learning how to draw and everything, but I was always doodling. And they would literally design these websites, but I had to be really competent in using the graphic software because I had to take the websites from them in the graphic software, break the website apart, and then make it work on the internet. And then I'd program the whole thing. So I'd always really closely worked with designers. And then I'd worked for people like Habitat, where I had to do all the reports or what they were selling in this country and that country. But then my job was to take all that information and turn it into reports that the procurement report departments could understand and then make decisions on. So then I started to realize when I was doing that the more and more I'd use images into it, the more and more people, the less hassle they would give me, the less times they would come back and go, oh, what does this mean? Or this, a number doesn't add up, And so I just kind of kept doing it that way. And eventually I just decided that I wanted to start doing this because I was working for an organization, which was a think tank. And lots of researchers were there, lots of academics, and they put all this information together. And I'd be like, let's do an infographic to drip feed this information. And I just wasn't getting enough opportunities to do it there. I did a bit, but I wanted to go in it full time. So yeah, that's how I ended up.
Fantastic. I want to ask this question. I'm going to try and ask it in the right way. I'm just fascinated by this. When I think of infographics, and you did kind of put me right on this anyway, because it's more than just infographics, but when I think of infographics, I think of like graphs and, spreads of things, like 10% of people put their finger in their right ear and 11% put it in their left ear, Do you do any other types of infographics that aren't chart data related?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are different types of infographics. There's like the visual article infographic, which is essentially like the way a journalist would tell a story and they'd write a newspaper article. You could take that and turn that into an infographic. So instead of someone reading, there's the beginning, there's an end. I mean, all infographics should have a beginning and end and that kind of thing.
So can you give me an example of that so I can picture it in my mind what I would be looking at if you were asked to produce one of those kinds?
Basically, it's a picture at the top of it would have a headline that would interest you or not. Obviously, if it interests you, you'd look at it more.
Freddie Starr ate my hamster kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And on the right-hand side, it'd probably be a picture of a little hamster.
Yeah. I was going to lead him there, wasn't I?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you'd go from there, and then all of a sudden, the person's intrigued.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, from the hamster, you then go on, people wonder, why is the hamster there? What did Freddie do? And then you'd give them another bit of information. You give them a contextual piece of information.
So is this like a storyboard that runs?
Absolutely. It's a storyboard that it can run from, generally they run from top to bottom, but they can also run from left to right.
Okay, yeah.
They used to be traditionally from top to bottom, but I think as time and usage of, as time has gone on, how people use the internet and their mobile phones, there's more kind of left to right ones as well,
yeah.
Especially ones on social media, because you know, you need to get it on your mobile phone, basically.
Yeah,
so there's tend to be left to right. There's those kind of one, the visual article. There's also the timeline kind of infographic, which is great for telling it what happened this in the beginning, what happened in the future, what happened, what's going to happen, what happened before that.
Yeah.
There's a kind of a timeline type infographic. You've got your kind of like your map-based infographics, which is obviously depicting what happened where.
Yep.
Mm.
You've got your image type infographics, which are just pictures, but little arrows explaining exactly key information and key points.
Right.
So there's different types of infographics for different types of situations.
Fantastic.
But there's also interactive ones for the people or the part of your audience that wants to put the time in to delve deeper. But like I said, that's not for everyone.
Mm. Interesting. I know I had a conversation with Mark about 8 or 9 months ago, because it was something that Mark was very interested in, was putting together graphic explanations of the kind of things that you were looking at doing as well.
Oh, very much
marketing.
So. Yeah. It's, and also, you know, I've come across different forms of visualization.
Yeah.
You know, obviously infographics. One of the interesting things is, I've worked with companies in the past that have done full sort of a graphic novel approach, basically with frames and characters.
Isn't that just called a comic?
Well, yes.
Well, now you've got this whole Japanese thing of anime and all that.
Which is probably where it's allowed it to cross over into the adult and into the business marketing world. Mm. And, you know, the superheroes, basically, you can attribute different powers to the superheroes that you create. So,
people want to be entertained.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Fantastic discussion. Really interesting. We're kind of approaching towards the end of the show, and there's a couple of other things I want to talk to you about. back in last year, you actually won the Speakers Platform.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yes. Which was great.
It was great. I was there.
For those that don't know, it was Amanda, the erstwhile presenter of this show.
September.
Which is here.
It was actually early September, 6 months ago, yeah.
Was it? Yeah, that long ago. Amanda, as an experiment, because we've been approached by a number of people that asked about public speaking and the ability to do it for money, basically, to get paid to speak in public, she decided to run the Speakers Platform, which was an opportunity for people to bid to speak and to get selected by a panel of judges to actually give a talk on the night, and then the judges picked a winner. And Shoti, you won that accolade. For a fantastic talk that you did. What made you enter that? Have you done anything with it since?
What made me enter that? I don't know. I had a moment of madness, I think.
It worked.
I just wanted to get into public speaking. It was something I've always kind of fantasized about, to be honest with you. But like a lot of people, I just kind of shied away from it.
But it's another element of the storytelling, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you're completely right. There's storytelling into it. And I love the infographics. It's all about storytelling. But there's the different types of storytelling.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the highest form of storytelling is standing up in front of people and telling a story.
Absolutely.
And you can't get away from that. It's been like that for thousands of years. And so I wanted, that was a skill I wanted to start to be good at. So I just had a moment of madness and I did it. And lo and behold, I got selected to do it, and I wanted to bolt as soon as I got there. No, I went through with it.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah,
so it was a good. You know, it was good.
It was good.
And subsequently, you founded Kent Digital Meetup in Folkestone.
No, I haven't founded it. Basically, it's I organise and host a digital marketing meetup that happens on the fourth Wednesday of every month in Folkestone called Kent Digital Folkestone. Now, it was started off about a year ago in Canterbury. It was actually different chapters. So there's a chapter in Canterbury, one in Maidstone, one in Ashford, and one in Folkestone. And it kind of linked to me wanting to get into public speaking and wanting to meet local business owners, really, because I'm a Londoner, essentially. And I moved to Folkestone about 2 years ago and wanted to meet more people in the business community. So the opportunity came up, so I decided to take that thing on. It's very rewarding, very challenging, but as far as public speaking goes, I've actually been spending more time facilitating other people to public speaking than myself since I did since I did the speaking, I won the speaking award. So yeah, definitely looking to get back into more speaking. I've got a couple of dates lined up,
which
I'm looking forward to. But yeah, I've kind of been distracted from my public speaking because I took on this event, and anybody who's managed an event knows it is
consuming. Yeah. So just remind us again, the digital meetup in Folkestone takes place on which Wednesday?
The fourth Wednesday of every month. The next one's on the 27th of March.
Okay. And if people want to come along, do they just turn up, or do they have to book? Or
The best thing to do is to book through meetup.com.
Right.
If you go to meetup.com, one word, and just type in Kent Digital Folkestone, the page will come up. And if you RSVP there, that's the best way to come along.
And they can also find you on LinkedIn and Twitter, that I've seen the meetups publicized there as well.
I'm very active on LinkedIn regarding the events when they happen, and I'm sure they can just search LinkedIn for Kent Digital Folks.
So, Shotty, if people want to find out more about you, more about Data Chronicles, more about anything you're doing, what's the easiest way to do that?
The best way to do that is to go to my website, which is at www.datachronicle.co.uk. That's Data Chronicle, one word. Or you can email me at shoti@datachronicle.co.uk, and my name is SOTI, Shoti. Or just look for Shoti Coker on LinkedIn or search for Data Chronicle in Google.
Fantastic. Shoti, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for coming in.
Stay
with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. We've got a couple more events to go. I've had a tweet from Amanda.
Is it that one with them all in it? I've seen the picture.
Yeah, they've managed to couple together all the co-hosts of the show. So there's Julie Daniel, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and Amanda Flanders in a picture saying, "Hope you're having a good show."
Because they obviously are.
Because they're obviously having a good time where they are
at Port Lim.
So congratulations and keep on enjoying, but mind the lines.
Yes, hope they get out alive.
Absolutely.
We shall pray for them.
Absolutely. What have you got event-wise, Mark?
I've got a quick one here, Kent. Basically, business awards all year. So if you know a deserving business in Kent, any of these three regions of Kent, so Canterbury Business Awards, the next one is actually the Broom Park Hotel, Thursday the 14th of March, so next Thursday. Then Maidstone Business Awards, Thursday the 27th of June, and Ashford Business Awards, rounding up the year on Wednesday the 28th of November.
Absolutely. So Canterbury is already closed, obviously, and the awards dinner is next week, which I'm looking forward to cheering. It's going to be good fun. I think this is the third Canterbury Awards, and it's got bigger and bigger every year. Fantastic range of businesses.
Well, it's just expanded over Kent, hasn't it?
Absolutely,
Saw that it was a good thing.
So really looking forward to that. And then, as Mark quite rightly says, there will be later in the year both Maidstone and Ashford Awards that you can enter. I've got some more business women things going on, and this is best business women, best business women awards. Hi Business Bunker Extra, be great if you can share these awards. We're launching them on the 15th of March. It's the National UK Business Women Awards, recognising and rewarding achievements of business women. If you want to find out about them, find out who the organisation are behind them, bestbusinesswomenawards.com is their website.
Okay. I've got a trio of events all at the Village Hotel at Maidstone, and you can find all these events on www.bestbusinessevents.co.uk. Trio of events: Advanced Social Media Masterclass with Alistair Frost, 25th of April. Digital Marketing Strategy Masterclass with the great David Shaw on the 14th of May. And LinkedIn for Business Masterclass with a real LinkedIn expert, Jade Pluck, on the 30th of April. So they all know their stuff. Book in bestbusinessevents.co.uk at the Village Hotel at Maidstone.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. This is a nice little event. It's the Ashford Invictus Singers. And they proudly present a concert in aid of CARM, C-A-R-M. I happen to know who CARM are. CARM are a charity that support older people in rural areas. So they're trying to combat loneliness, especially out on the Romney Marsh. There are lots of older people that live in isolated communities. There's no public transport. They see very few other humans. Lots of sheep, but very few other humans. Yeah. So CARM is a charity that helps them, and the Ashford Invictus Singers are staging a concert to raise money on their behalf. It's going to be held in St Mildred's Church, which is in High Street in Tenterton. It's a gorgeous church, a lovely location, and it's on Saturday the 23rd of March at 7:30 p.m. The tickets are only £10, and they include refreshments, and they are available on the door. So that's just rock up, pay your £10, enjoy the concert, feel that you've done some good for the rural community, and have some nice refreshments.
That's lovely. That's really good. I've got a last one here, which is a Humdinger event. The first one in first one ever of its kind in the southeast of England, which is the Tech Expo UK, Clive Empson Suite, the Kent Event Centre at Detling, County Showground, Thursday the 26th of September. So I know it's a while ahead, but it's only 6 months. It'll soon go. Put in your diary, Thursday the 26th of September, Tech Expo UK. And this is a full-day exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can run, build, and grow their business with the power of technology, hence the name. So again, over 100 suppliers of different sectors of technology, including IT support, cybersecurity, software, digital marketing, and online accountancy. Five fantastic speakers. I won't go through them here. Time's short. Registration opening soon. Put the 26th of September in your diary. Get along there and listen out for further news.
Fantastic. Yeah, and keynote speakers are from Microsoft.
Brian Sutton from Microsoft, Richard Bell for cybersecurity, Ben Abbott, been on the show a number of times, from Maximum Media Voice, Will Charlesworth, Digital Law, Dale Carnegie, Being Human in a Digital World.
That's an interesting one that Amanda's put into there, because it is. The Dale Carnegie Organisation, How to Win Friends and Influence People, for those that don't know, are looking at the human side of technology. And quite often that's something that we can overlook, really, isn't it? We talk a lot about technology, but don't always think about the human side. And especially when you look at things like social media and the impact that can have, with trolling and abuse online and stuff like that.
The negative sides of things.
I've made reference a couple of times to this, so I will tell you about ZC Live. Sorry, I've got a throat. It's a free social media event in Kent. I'm trying to remember if it's the fourth one that Zoe's run.
Yes.
She's run a few. Yeah. And it's the annual thing. It's entirely free to run. Zoe Cairns, who's the organiser from ZC Social Media, puts this together, and every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And this year, ZC Live is back, and it's back on the 31st of May. And the ZC team are super excited and have lined up an amazing agenda, which will be revealed over the coming weeks.
Listen out for announcements.
Yeah, so listen out for announcements. You can reserve your free ticket. It's totally free to go to this event by going to eventbrite.co.uk/ZC Live 2019. I happen to know, because I was chatting to Zoe last week, they've already had 250 people booked, and we don't even know who the speakers are yet. Last year, if I remember rightly, they had 500 delegates.
Yes.
So I think it's going to be a bit bigger than that this year. So do get in. It's a fantastic event.
And what date is that again?
It's on the 31st of May, and it's at the Strood Academy.
So book now.
Absolutely,
your interest now.
Yeah, it's a fabulous event, and it's totally free. And I mean, last year there was breakfast provided and lunch because they had a breakfast workshop. I had pancakes and fruit.
So, where did you guys say that was again? Where is it going to be? Then?
It's at the Strood Academy.
Where's that?
Strood is in the Midway Towns. Okay. Just to the left of Rochester.
Oh, okay.
And the Strood Academy is the local school there.
Okay. No, I know Rochester.
Strood's, if you turn left in Rochester, you're in Strood, kind of thing.
St. Rude, it's on the west bank of the Medway.
Yeah. See, he'd know things like that. I couldn't tell you which the West Bank was,
Well, you have Kentish men and men of Kent, because it's International Women's Day, women of Kent and Kentish women.
Actually, they're called Kentish maids.
Oh, are they?
Okay. Yeah, there's a special term for the ladies of Kent. Yeah, okay. They're Kentish maids and ladies of Kent.
Oh, okay, nice. That's a nice one to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm from Southwest London, so I don't know any of that. So that's ZC Live. So do check that out. But I think we've reached the end of another show. Do you know, Mark?
I think it's well. And again, they shoot past. Again, thanks very much, Shoti. What are you doing for the rest of the day? I'm shooting up to. I've got a meeting at Canary Wharf.
Oh, lovely.
So I'm on the train up from Ashford to Canary Wharf after this. Yeah. What are you up to?
I've got a couple of meetings in Folkestone. I've also got to stop off at home and look after my kid for a bit.
Oh, yeah. A busy day. Yeah.
No, I'm a dad for the first time.
Congratulations.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
Cheers. Thank you. Juggling a couple of things. So, looking forward to it.
Oh, fantastic. Shoti, thank you so much. I'd like to say a big thank you.
Are you going to Portland?
No, I'm not. No, I'm on school run duty as well. I've got to pick up my stepdaughter from school and make a dinner and stuff like that. And so no, I've got a fun afternoon as well. So thank you all for listening. We'll be back with a Business Bunker show on Tuesday at 1 o'clock with another great great lineup of guests. Yep. But in the interim, have a fantastic weekend, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you all soon. Yep.
Bye everyone.
Cheers, thank you. Bye bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.